Good morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog directors, John Rayhorn and Jamie Jors. We're getting ready for a Packers game this upcoming weekend, this Sunday against the Arizona Cardinals. To preview that game, we have a special guest on the line. We have Cheesehead TV's own founder, the creator of Cheesehead TV. We have Aaron Nagler joining us on the phone. Aaron, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, and I would be remiss if I didn't point out I'm a co-founder. Nowhere near the genius level of being able to create this website on my own. Craig Banky is the real brains of the operation. I'm just a guy on Twitter.
Fair enough. Before we get into any Packers talk, though, both you and Corey, if anybody doesn't know, are residents of New York City. And I want to know, and I think other people do, how are you and your family been in the wake of Hurricane Sandy?
Well, we've been great. We've been very fortunate. The power never went out for us. I know it did for a whole lot of people. Astoria, where I live, was pretty lucky in that regard. I know Corey has been without power since the storm hit. I'm not sure if he's got it back on yet, which is why we didn't have our weekly show this week. But things are kind of slowly ticking back up to normal. Subway's partially back up online for some lines. Nothing's still below 34th Street, but we're fine. We're getting through. The girls are home, and they're thrilled to have an extra week off school, and they're kind of oblivious to what's really going on downtown, which is good. It's the way we want it.
But what is the big scene there? I mean, really, how bad is the area and the larger area impacted and affected?
Well, I mean, the New Jersey Shore is going to take forever to get back up and running.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty terrible. Downtown in Manhattan is not good, and they need to get. There's a lot of issues down there that I won't go into. But I mean, Manhattan, big stretches of Long Island are pretty devastated. And there's obviously a big concert tonight. People giving money to the Red Cross, people volunteering their time. It's always great to see people coming together. It's New York. Like the mayor said, we've been through it before. We'll go through it again. We always come together, and that's what people are doing.
Well, I hope you're doing well, and hope the area bounces back. But we're here to talk a little bit about Packers football. What's your take on the injury situation and the choice the Packers have ahead of them between playing guys like Jordy Nelson and John Kuhn this weekend, as opposed to giving them a game off and having that extra week of rest that comes with having the bye week next week?
Well, I'm with Coach McCarthy on this. I know he's kind of always been in this camp, but I think he reiterated it earlier this week in one of his press conferences. You have to be all in to win a game in the NFL. The idea that you can just rest Jordy Nelson if he's able to play, but you don't want to risk him, is silly to me, or John Kuhn, or anybody else who's able and willing to play. You saw against Jacksonville, it takes your best players to win a football game, no matter who the competition is. In the NFL, there are only 16 games, and anything can happen in any one of those 16 games, and each one of those games is important for the developments later in the year when you're jockeying for playoff position, when you're trying to win a division or trying to, win even a wild card spot. And this game is probably even more so because it's a conference game, and those things matter when tiebreakers come along. So, if Jordy is able to go and he wants to go, then he should play. And I understand the idea of wanting to sit guys down and save them let them rest up this week and the bye week, but you need all your horses to win in the NFL, and I think they should play him if he's ready.
Sticking with the injury talk here, the defensive line is a little thin this week with recent injuries to Mike Neal and Jarrell Worthy. What I find interesting is that Mike McCarthy said the Packers were, quote, stressed, unquote, on the defensive line. but it's almost a position that the Packers have willingly put themselves in because they're operating with 52 roster spots filled out of 53. So maybe a two-part question here, Aaron. Is this roster spot being saved for one of the pup list players? And number two, can the Packers get by without adding any help on the defensive line?
Yeah, the second part, yeah, I think they can. Especially against the terrible Arizona offensive line. but, you know, they did work out there. This win, I think it was yesterday or Tuesday. And, you know, they obviously familiar with him. There are obviously guys out there who are in camp with them. Philip Merling is out there. Daniel Muir was with the Jets briefly and is now available again. So they have guys who have been with them, who know their defense, who are available if and when they call, who obviously would be more than happy to have a job. But I think, you know, to the second point, I think they can get by with what they've got, especially seeing as Dom Capers is, you know, adept at coming up with, you know, new personnel formations and new schemes that kind of adapt to what's available. We've seen it throughout his tenure in Green Bay. You know, as far as the roster spot, you know, we've seen this before when Nick Barnett was put on, was it the great mystery of when Nick Barnett would be put on injured reserve a couple years ago when he broke his wrist in Minnesota. You know, they kept that spot open for, I think, almost a month. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they just there's no reason to make a move, so that doesn't make a move. I don't think it's, you know, I don't think it's hampering the team. I think if there was someone there who they needed to snatch up, they would get them. But, you know, when you're talking about the 53rd roster spot, you're not talking about a game changer. You're talking about someone who's going to fill in maybe some depth and maybe take some snaps during the week on a rotational basis. But, you know, I don't see any great urgency to fill it, just to fill it. And I think he feels the same way because there's plenty of options available.
After the Packers struggled running the football last week, there's been a lot of talk, a lot of focus on the Green Bay ground game recently. What's the issue with the Packers? Is it the running backs? Is it the offensive line? And how can they get better?
Well, it's a combo, which is always a cop-out, but it's true. It's more to do with the offensive line, I would say, than the running back. But that said, Alex Green has left a bunch of yards on the field. If you look at the tape in the last 2 weeks, he's not, for whatever reason, he's not seeing the cutback. I think he's not what they call pressing the hole, where he gets up to the offensive line, to his mark in the zone blocking scheme. What you want to do is get to your mark and then read the play and see if you can cut it backside. He's getting to his mark, and then he's just kind of exploding into the morass of blockers, if you will, rather than seeing where the cutback is. And it's been there. It's been there a couple times. And he's just, for whatever reason, not seen it or not been able to change gears or whatever. But at the same time, Mike McCarthy is calling a lot more, a lot different of a running game than he was earlier in the year or throughout his tenure. We've seen sweeps with linemen pulling. We've seen counter plays. We've seen traditional, you know, lead draws. We've seen bellies up in between the guard and the center. I mean, it's not the zone blocking scheme, the running game that we've been accustomed to under McCarthy for some time. I mean, people have been complaining for years, oh, he needs to incorporate all these new runs. And, well, now he is. He's used a bunch of man-on-man blocking on some plays. And, like I said, we've seen counters and sweeps and nothing seems to be working, and I think it all kind of begins in the middle with Jeff Saturday, and I think T.J. Lang is playing with an injured elbow, and that's affecting his ability to get his hands on guys and keep them there. So, you know, it's a collection of things. I know a lot of people want James Starks to get a look, and I think he will. I think McCarthy, you know, indicated earlier this week that James Starks will start to see more carries. But I don't think that's a magic elixir that's going to fix everything. I think, you know, everyone just needs to play better in that phase of the game. And look, we've seen this before. When they won the Super Bowl in 2010, their running game was terrible with Brandon Jackson and company. Until James Starks exploded onto the scene, you know, late in the year, in the playoffs, particularly against the Eagles. But, you know, the Packers have been down this road before. They will keep working on it. They're just not a running team. You know, whatever running success they get is gravy, in my opinion. I know Rodgers said this week they need to run the ball better. well, the summer he was saying, do we really need to run the ball? You know, it's, they are able to operate on offense with minimal amount of production from the running game, but it will certainly help the offense's rhythm if they get it in gear, and I think they will to some extent. I don't think they'll ever be a huge, you know, explosive run type team, but that's what they're working on, no doubt.
I think I know your answer here, but do you think the Packers should have made an attempt to get a running back via trade?
No, not unless it was like a fire sale and someone was giving it away for a ridiculous price. I mean, I think lost in a lot of the trade talk is the fact that, you know, Cedric Benson is scheduled to return. He's not lost for the year. He's on the IR designated to return, the new rule that the NFL put in place this year. So, you know, they're expecting him back. So if you want to go and trade for a Steven Jackson or a D'Angelo Williams, Williams never made any sense to me because he's got a monster contract that he signed just 2 years ago. Steven Jackson, you're going to have Steven Jackson and Cedric Benson for the stretch run? That, how does that work? I mean, that doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. So, I never expected anything coming of any of those kind of, you know, reports.
Let's look ahead to Sunday's game. Last week, the Packers squeaked by against a poor Jaguars team, and I think most people consider the Cardinals an upgrade from the Jaguars. Will the Packers struggle again this week with an injured team, and does that spell trouble against a Cardinals team that's better than the Packers faced last week?
Yeah, I think it will be another kind of, I don't want to say ugly game, but I think it will be. You know, the secondary for the Cardinals is no joke. As their whole defense is, you know, better than they've shown the last couple of weeks. And I think they match up well with the Packers and what the Packers like to do on offense. Now, that said, I think the Packers defense will eat John Skelton alive. You know, I know everyone thought that was going to happen with Blaine Gabbert, but Blaine Gabbert had been playing well. People, you know, kind of dismissed that because he's Blaine Gabbert and he had been injured the week before, but he had been, you know, kind of trending upward, so to speak, the last couple of weeks. Especially against the Raiders, he had a very good game before getting injured. And so, it's not shocking to me that, you know, the first week with Charles Woodson out, that, you know, there might be some plays there to be made. But I think another week, you got guys like Casey Hayward, John McMillan, MD Jennings playing much better than I thought he would. And you had a great article about Morgan Burnett playing probably his finest game as a pro. I think as those things continue to evolve, the defense will clamp down, and you know, I think they're going to, like I said, I think they'll eat John Skelton alive, and that it'll be another, you know, 20-17 type game with the Packers coming out on top.
Well, very good. I was just going to ask you for a prediction. Should I ask you for a prediction on the presidential race on Tuesday, or don't you want to go there?
No, it's fine. I predict that I will vote, and I hope everyone else does too.
Sounds good, Aaron. Thanks so much for joining us this morning, and best of luck to you and for whatever. My best wishes to you as the whole you and the whole area deals with the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Brian. Thanks a lot for having me on.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Aaron Nagler, Cheesehead TV's own co-founder, joining us here on Railbird Central this morning here at Cheesehead TV. Thanks to him, and thanks to you for joining us here this morning, folks. Thanks for bearing with us. Of course, Hurricane Sandy kind of preempted Wednesday's show here at Cheesehead TV. They lost powers at the live stream headquarters. Actually, right now, as I understand, they're running where this show is running a generator power at live stream. Last I heard, so if we lose power at any time, I apologize. But they're doing their best to get through this, and yeah, it certainly is no laughing matter what happened. And of course, the big news yesterday from the world of the Green Bay Packers: Charles Woodson himself, the Packers defensive back, donating $100,000 to hurricane relief there on the East Coast, not just New York City, but everywhere that needs the help. And, you know, obviously a situation here that's just kind of impacted the whole nation and has gained the attention of the whole nation here in the sports world today. I just know that, you know, New York City in particular is the focus of sports talk radio today, as, you know, what was it, the New Jersey Nets You know, their season opener, their, you know, their game last night was postponed. There's such a controversy about whether they should run the New York Marathon this Sunday. And heck, involving the NFL, what did I hear? Was it the who's playing in New York this weekend? Is it the Pittsburgh Steelers? And they're flying in the morning of the game rather than sleep the night before, like most teams usually do and regularly do, because the hotel they were supposed to stay at still doesn't have power restored. So kind of a unique situation where they're just going to fly in hours before the game. And, you know, that just doesn't happen in the NFL. So, yeah, Jamie says Pittsburgh at the Giants. So, you know, a lot of impact here on, you know, the sports world in general and the NFL world in particular. And, yeah, so yesterday, Charles Woodson donating $100,000. Kudos to him for doing that. And of course, the part that's going to get everybody riled up, when Charles Woodson announced his donation to Hurricane Sandy, it actually came at a campaign stop for President Barack Obama, who actually visited Green Bay, Wisconsin yesterday on Thursday. Right at the Austin Straubel Airport is where the campaign stop happened. Apparently, it was Obama's first stop since the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy. He had actually, you know, taken the time to make sure everything he could do, all he could there first. But yes, Charles Woodson speaking on behalf, or maybe not behalf, but, you know, speaking before Obama's appearance, throwing his support behind Obama. And, you know, I sorry, folks, it's big news. I really, you know, the journalist in me, I want to be nonpartisan. And if there were a Packers player throwing his support behind Mitt Romney, I would mention it too. And, you know, but I just don't have any of that. So, I know Kabir Baja Biamila has been an outspoken Republican supporter. Former Packer here. I don't know if he's been doing any campaigning on the behalf of Mitt Romney. If he has, I haven't heard of it. But it was a big news yesterday. Just, you know, here we are, just days before the general election. So, you know, it's what the nation's all focused on: Hurricane Sandy and then the election here. So, we'll see what happens. But, Charles Woodson stumping on behalf, perhaps, of President Obama. We'll see what happens. Of course, Wisconsin, big battleground state, you know, kind of one of those states that's, you know, kind of, goes both ways. Not heavily Republican or Democrat, although I think Wisconsin has tended to be Democrat over the past several elections, but still a close race, and it bears watching what's going to happen going forward here. All right, I'll stop the political talk, and we'll try to continue to talk some Packers football here. You know, we touched on a lot of topics here with Aaron Nagler. The injury situation, of course, is, you know, one that bears monitoring. We're waiting today to see whether both Jordy Nelson and John Kuhn, they're both, according to Mike McCarthy, in the same boat. Neither of them have practiced yet this week. But apparently there's a chance that they will practice today. So in just a couple hours' time, we're waiting on that to find out whether Jordy Nelson, John Kuhn, whether they practice, what their status is for Sunday's game, whether they'll play or not. You know, I'm in the same boat as Mr. Nagler, who said, you know, if they're healthy to play, they should play. You know, and it really, I don't think it should be any different than any other game just because the bye week's coming up. You know, if they're healthy enough to play, they should play. If they're not healthy enough to play, well, I mean, then hold them out. There's no use in risking further injury or playing at less than 100%. So if you're not going to help the team, then why be out there? So that's the way I feel about it. And you know, we're still looking at other people too. Mike Neal returned to practice this week, so that's good there. But Jarrell Worthy has yet to practice this week. He suffered a concussion in the last game against the Jacksonville Jaguars this past Sunday. Hasn't practiced yet, but who knows? This could be, if the concussion isn't severe, who knows? Maybe he will be able to return. Mike McCarthy said both Sam Shields and Nick Perry, both who have missed two games now, that they look doubtful this week for the Cardinals game here. So don't expect them to practice. Don't expect them to play on Sunday, but haven't been ruled out completely yet, I guess. So that's where the Packers are on the injury front. Something we didn't talk about with Aaron Nagler is Greg Jennings' surgery reportedly took place yesterday. And if you happen to follow Greg Jennings on Twitter, he actually tweeted a photo from him following the surgery. It's kind of a funny photo because he's making a funny face, but he's lying there in bed, you know, with the scrubs still on from surgery. And he's making a funny face, but he said surgery went well. So Greg Jennings now on the road to recovery. You know, good news here. He'll have this week off. He'll get the bye week to recover, and, you know, he'll be back. And, you know, the word is 3 to 6 weeks. Whether it tends toward the minimum or the maximum, we have no idea right now. But surgery is over, and he's on the road to recovery. So certainly the Packers continue to be a little bit thin at the wide receiver position as well as the defensive line. You know, last week they played without Greg Jennings and Jordy Nelson. I would assume they're going to do the same this week. Again, I can't say that for certain, can't say that for sure. But, you know, once again, guys like Donald Driver and Jarrett Boykin could be playing. There's the picture on the live blog. I love it. Oh, I need a Facebook like button to like that picture. It's hilarious. Where was I saying? Yeah, Donald Driver, Jarrett Boykin, again going to play bigger roles for the Green Bay Packers on Sunday against the Cardinals here. The Cardinals, you know, I think this is going to be a close game just because the Packers are dinged up. They didn't look good last week against a poor Jaguars team. Even though the Cardinals are not good on offense, I do think they have a good enough defense to make this a competitive game. As you have probably heard this week, the Cardinals lead the NFL in sacks. It's just by coincidence, the team they're tied with is the Green Bay Packers. So you got two teams here this Sunday that know how to get to the quarterback. And, you know, just talking about the Packers alone, how impressive has it been after last year when the Packers were one of the worst teams in the NFL at generating a pass rush? One of the worst teams, I think they were the worst in sack efficiency. You know, so many teams had to pass against the Packers last year just because they were playing catch up, and the Packers, you know, still couldn't get to the quarterback. It was terrible last year. And how they've turned it around has just been miraculous. And certainly the majority of the applause or the, you know, the credit goes to Clay Matthews, who's, you know, what is he, second in the NFL in sacks behind J.J. Watt, or at least I knew he was. The rest of the credit goes to, I think, Dom Capers, who is bringing pressure from all sorts of different people, all sorts of different angles. You know, last week bringing Morgan Burnett on the blitz, bringing Brad Jones up the middle on the blitz. You know, aside from Clay Matthews, there's nobody else who's putting up a lot of sacks, but it's everybody here and there getting one, getting two. You know, just go through all the players who have sacks on the year. I mean, what are we looking at? We're looking at defensive linemen, Jarrell Worthy, Mike Daniels, Charles Woodson, I know earlier in the year coming on the blitz, Eric Walden, Nick Perry. So, you know, it's you know, good stuff there coming from a lot of different people. It'd be nice if somebody could provide some consistent pressure aside from Clay Matthews, but that hasn't been the case so far, but maybe it will be. So we can only hope. But, you know, getting back to the Cardinals here, a team that knows how to bring pressure, I think they'll create a few headaches for the Packers. Whether they're getting to Aaron Rodgers a lot or not, I don't know. But, you know, of course, the Packers have struggled to run the football. That could happen. Aaron Nagler said it. The Cardinals have a pretty good secondary. Patrick Peterson, of course, the a guy who gets a lot of attention there. But on the defensive line, Calais Campbell, a very good player. So, yeah, you know, I think this is going to be another close game. Whether it's ugly or not, I don't know. But I do think the Cardinals can keep it close. I hope I'm wrong. I hope the Packers do what the San Francisco 49ers did on Monday Night Football and just destroy the Cardinals and not even make it close. But I'm just not sure that's going to happen. But I do think the Packers get by. You know, I think the Packers defense, I think the Cardinals offense is going to make the Packers defense look good. But hey, I mean, nothing to take away from the Packers defense. They've looked good in spurts this year, good at times. Hopefully Clay Matthews and company get to the quarterback. Hopefully Casey Hayward and company grab a couple interceptions. They just got to focus on stopping Larry Fitzgerald. And I think the Packers will be okay. You know, on offense, how are the Packers going to deal with the injuries to the wide receivers? Can they get, you know, a good, consistent passing attack going with the rest of the targets? Can James Jones continue to step up, complemented by Jermichael Finley and company? We will see. I think they'll do enough to get the job done against the Cardinals. But yeah, that's where we're at. I'm predicting a 27-20 Packers victory, so a one touchdown victory by the Packers. Again, I'm hoping it's by more. I'm hoping it's a blowout, but that's where we're at with the Packers right now. And as we enter the last week before the bye, last game, so gonna have a little bit of a break here for the Packers after Sunday's game against the Cardinals. So a chance for them to rest up, and boy, could they use it. A lot of these injuries, it's interesting. They've come to a lot of premier players this year. When you just look at all the people who have missed games, Greg Jennings, Charles Woodson, Cedric Benson, Jordy Nelson, B.J. Raji, these are all considered among the best players on the team. And what's interesting with all of them, none of them, aside from maybe Desmond Bishop, you know, he's on injured reserve, and T.J. Smith too, I guess. But, you know, few of the injuries have been season-ending, you know, inside linebacker being the exception. But all these guys can come back. Jennings, Nelson, Woodson, Benson. So they're all going to come back at some point. So that's what the bye week's really going to help these guys get healthy, you know, help everybody on the team get healthy. Just, you know, you're a professional football player. Even if they're not on the injury report, they're all injured. These are guys going to battle every week, taking banging big bodies together. It happens that they get bumps and bruises all the time, so they need the rest, and that'll happen after Sunday. The word is, I think James Jones indicated in an interview earlier this week, Mike McCarthy has throwing the team a bone. If they win this weekend, they get like some extra time off during the bye week. So hopefully the Packers will be motivated to get a little extra time off. They could use it too. So we'll see. We'll see what happens on Sunday. I say 27-20. Feel free to throw your guesses here on the live blog this morning, because that's going to do it for Railbird Central here today, folks. It's Friday. Have a good weekend, everyone. Enjoy the game this weekend. We'll be back on Monday with another episode of Oh Snap with Brett Goode. Brett Goode will be joining us Monday morning to wrap up the Cardinals game, talk about that game. So make sure to join us then. On behalf of John Rahor, on behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Caravu. Thanks to Aaron Nagler for joining us on the show this morning. We'll be back on Monday. See you later, everybody, folks. Have a good weekend. I leave you today with a song called Cemetery Walk 2 by Umphreys McGee on Psi Fidelity Records. See you later, everyone. Go, Pack, go.